Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today. And sit tight. We've got a great show headed your way. We'll talk with Brendan Sweeney of the infamous French Lick Resort in French Lick, Indiana, coming up very, very shortly. And then a little bit later on, we've got Fred Cowgill join us. He's a sportscaster, has been forever and ever at the CBS affiliate in Louisville, Kentucky, KLKY TV in Louisville, Kentucky. And he's going to be coming to us from Churchill Downs because I think there's a big race or golf tournament or something's going on in Churchill Downs. We'll find out what he's got going, but we'll get an update on that as well. And Fred's been there, by the way, in Louisville for 35 years, something like that. So if anybody knows about the Kentucky Derby and all that entails and the controversy, if you all remember back in 2019, we'll talk about that too. It seems like it's a long time ago, but that's still something we want to talk about because I remember it, the controversy of the winner, no, not a winner, and had to do the review and all that kind of stuff. So we'll talk to Fred about that. Frank Bassett, join us in the Nashville studios. I don't want to bury the lead there, Frank, but you remember that back in 2019, how they had the Kentucky Derby and they had a dispute and they had to go to the videotape, if you will, and they changed it. They changed the results of the Kentucky Derby. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yours truly lost a lot of money on that. Yes, do you remember that? Okay. I went ballistic when they did. I wanted to go find the steward. It was a woman, female steward, that you saw her looking at the monitor, and they were monitoring the stewards, and they're looking at the race, and you knew what was coming. And I was like, I just want a bunch of money, and it's about to go away real fast.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
It's like George Jetson. You know George Jetson, when his wife, Judy, needs money, and he pulls some money out of his wallet and holds it out, and she grabs the wallet? That's exactly what happened. So, I remember it. But anyway, guess
kind
what?
Different.
Guess what?
What's that?
I just got back from several days and nights at the French Lick Resort in French Lick, Indiana.
Get out of here.
Pete Dye course, Donald Ross course, played them both. Played the Dye course the first day I was there, and it was windy. And that course can be very difficult in the wind. I mean, and it turned out to be very difficult in the wind. And then it poured down rain the next day. And so we played the Valley course, the 9 Valley course, in the morning in misting rain. And then we played the Donald Ross course in the afternoon and basically heavier rain. And had a great time. I almost had a hole-in-one. And guess what? The man who can validate that is on with us right now. Brendan Sweeney from the French Lick Resort, Director of Player Development and Media Relations. Hey, buddy, what's up?
There are no pictures on a scorecard, and I do believe that you two-putted that for a par.
I did.
Wow.
Okay. But it almost
really changed direction pretty quickly. It was
thanks,
a near
Brendan.
Hole in one, and I got a par.
No. He thunderstruck the flagstick from 180 yards out, which was great, but it landed like 12 feet away. So it was good. It was a good group. And the wind was blowing huge up there. I looked like a lollipop by the time I got off the golf course.
Well, we played an eightsome in the last five or six holes.
Yeah,
on the Ross course. And it was fun.
Of course, that was Saturday, and it was raining like a mother.
Oh, it was brutal, but it was fun. We had a great time. Everybody enjoyed it. The courses, by the way, Brendan, congratulations to your team up there, because both those courses are in all three courses are incredible condition, Tim. Just should have been there with us, but we didn't invite you.
Also, congratulations, other than that part, congratulations, because I believe there's a Donald Ross course that was ranked in Golf Magazine's latest edition as one of the top 100 golf courses that you can play.
That would be golf, but Golf Week magazine also ranked the Pete Dye golf course as the top 54 places you can play as well. So we have number one
Very nice.
Number three in the state. The faux course up at Indiana University took the second listing of places that you can play at Golf Week. So we're looking at it. And I looked at when Frank left, I had the Golf Week Raiders come in. So there's a group of guys that they're Golf Week Raiders. And we're totally going off track here, but I had 24 guys there up until Tuesday afternoon. And what they do is they go around and they rate your golf course. And that's how we get our rankings. So last time that they were there was about 8-9 years ago. And I'm not sure if you guys know Bradley Klein or not, but he is the golf aficionado of Golf Week magazine, but he's no longer with Golf Week magazine. So we have a little bit more freedom with that. So hopefully we get some wiggle room and we don't have to live underneath his thumb of the purity of it all. So.
Well, here's the big thing though. Here's the big thing. When you look at the
no
top
sarcasm there, baby.
The top 50 golf courses that have a casino. Okay. Which is where you want to go. I mean, you want to go where you can have a casino and a spa and all that. The top 50 in the country, French Lick, Shadow Creek is number one. Of course, Shadow Creek, everybody knows it's Vegas. French Lick is in the top five right there, the Pete Dye course. And the Donald Ross course is number, I believe, 14 or 16 on that list. So to be at two courses in the top 20 of the casino courses you can go and play, that's pretty doggone strong there, Brendan. Congratulations.
Yeah, well, if you look at the Golf Week, now we're talking about this. They have the Golf Week Best magazine just came out, and they have the top 200 modern golf courses. And if you look at the modern golf courses, and I actually looked at them all, it's from 1960 on, and that was one of the discussion points of the seminar that we were at. I'm like, look, the modern golf course being 60 years old, I think that criteria needs to change a little bit. So you have from 1895 until 1959 as your classic golf courses. Our Ross course falls in 1917. And if you look at the classics, there's only out of the 200 classic golf courses listed on there, there are only 15 public daily fee golf courses out of the 200 that are listed on Golf Week's top 200 golf courses. Hmm. And then if you look at the modern, you know, top daily fee, the Pete Dye is number, you know, on their list, you know, we're number 54. But if you look at the ones that you can play on the top 200, there's 116 private golf courses. So it is what it is. We have a great place. We have a great facility. As far as the casino goes, it's top notch. As far as casino golf courses, we're very proud to have, you know, two of the top 13 in the nation. And, you know, 802 rooms and a lot of fun. So, yeah, the Raiders are great. It's a younger crowd. When we started this journey like 12 years ago, there were a bunch of old dudes in there. And I think we're winning by attrition, to be honest with you.
Thin the herd.
And,
yeah. Thin the herd, did you?
Yeah. It's okay. So we got that going for us. And that's about it. So what else is going on?
Well, you know, they said, Brendan, that because you and I enjoy each other and being around each other and having a lot of fun, and we tell a lot of jokes and pull a lot of gags on each other, we've become the more subdued boys in the group now. And the younger guys are wilder and crazier than we are, which is great. That's fine.
Yeah.
They said we wouldn't last. We're still here, boys.
Natural revolution.
We ain't going nowhere.
I remember when the role was reversed and they were pointing at us.
I do remember those days. Yes, I do.
It's a great place to be. But yeah, we had a good group of people. We had every year I try to get all the Louisville media guys in right before the Derby because this is like their Super Bowl week. So if they could come and blow off some steam beforehand, even great. And then we had some guys in from Victoria National, which is another fabulous golf course, part of the Dormy Network, which we'll be doing a couple road shows there. Had Declan Cooney in from the Union League Club out of Chicago. They're doing a lot of work over in Ireland, and that's a whole nother subject that we can talk about. Not only Declan being Declan, he could be one of the funniest dudes I've been around in a long time. But what European travel is going to look like in the next couple of years? They're hoping and predicting that maybe they'll get people over there, starting in August, September. But if you look at the stacking order of, it's sort of like, you know, at an airport when the snow when the snow shuts it down, you stack all your airplanes. They're pushing back all the reservations. Yeah. So if you had reservations at one of the courses overseas and they said, okay, you're June 1st. Okay. We can put you in September and they're going in that pecking order. So it's going to be a clogged little, aisle for international travel coming up here. And hopefully everybody gets vaccinated and follows the guidelines or whatnot. But, you know, Europe's still putting out a lot of fires that we're not. So let's hope everything gets back in order quickly. But in the meantime, if you're not going to be traveling overseas, come on down to French Lick. We'd love to have you.
Hey, you have two events coming up for Tim's edification here. Two events coming up. What are they?
The Sweeney Cup, which is the Pro-Am. The week of after 4th of July. So I think the Sweeney Cup's on the 6th and 7th of July, Tim, which is my little pro-am. So I got like 24 guys. We play in the pro-am with the Symmetra Tour girls. And then come my 25th anniversary week, August 24th, we have the final edition of the Senior LPGA Championship. Helen Alferson is our defending champion. That's a great fundraiser for the Riley's Hospital for Children. Old National Bank's our sponsor. We got some cool stuff. We got away from the Golf Channel. Not only did we get to get away from the Golf Channel, the city of Orlando got away from the Golf Channel got away from the city of Orlando. Let me rephrase that.
And yeah. In darkness, they left.
Oh, it's awful, man. Terrible. Whatever. Working with Thaler Media out of North Palm Beach, Lowell Thaler was up for a site inspection, and we're going to be doing highlights, social media hits. So we're saving a ton of cash, and we're going to get a ton more exposure, and it's going to be a ton of fun, and have you guys involved with that as well.
Yeah, that'll be good. Tim, you can do some on-camera stuff for the French Lick Resort.
Yep. Yeah, that'd be fun. Fun. I look forward to it. Can't wait to go there. We've been talking about it for so long, and it seems like, Frank, you get there about every week.
Week. Hey, I tell you what, check this out. I was signing off on the comp tab. You know, we had food and booze and whatnot.
Oh.
And then I get home. I get home on Wednesday, and the director of sales is like, "This is not my comp." And I'm like, "Oh, I put the wrong comp number on."
You put it on somebody else's account.
Bills. I was like, "Oh,
oops, yeah."
Almost,
and it works every other time, doesn't it?
It's been a year. I apologize.
It works in the past. It's worked in the past, Brendan. I don't know why it didn't work this time.
Thank you, Mrs. Haberkamp.
and the reason that you talked about having the media over from Louisville is because Louisville is where, obviously, the closest, I guess, big market, and where people would normally fly into if you're flying distance, like somebody from me in Texas. You would fly into Louisville, and it's about, what, an hour drive or something like that from Louisville?
Yeah, it's all highway driving. It's 70 minutes. I mean, you cross over the river, take a ride at Highway 79 or Exit 79, go 20 minutes up the hill, and you're on parking lot. It is simple, stupid, crazy easy to get there. It's the same if you're going to fly to Evansville, Indiana. It's an hour and change from there, and Owensboro, Kentucky. So it's a simple drive.
Easy to get
to. Our numbers are just going crazy.
Yeah, if you have a private jet, you can fly right into French Lick.
Yeah,
we got that.
We love that. Yeah, we got 5,200 feet of parking lot out there. It's a blast.
Yeah, runway, perfect. Well, speaking of that, we'll take a break here, and we're going to be talking with Fred Cowgill. I mentioned earlier in the show, sportscaster for a long, long time at the CBS affiliate in Louisville, as he is at Churchill Downs getting ready for tomorrow's Kentucky Derby. And he'll give us an update on what's going on there. He knows more than anybody probably about how this is all going to shake out coming out of COVID and everything else. So it's going to be really, really interesting to hear from Fred and what he has to say. So let's take a quick break. And Fred Cowgill will be joining us here very shortly from Louisville. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and we will be back right after this. And welcome back, Golf Talk America, to Matthews, along with Frank Bassett and our good friend Brendan Sweeney at the French Lick Resort in French Lick, Indiana. And as we were talking about the big weekend coming ahead, we've got the NFL draft today, and that's tonight and all weekend, actually, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's a big deal around the country, but the biggest deal in the greater Louisville near French Lick area is certainly tomorrow's Kentucky Derby. And Brendan, I believe we have somebody on the line. Who is it that's going to be joining us? Brennan,
well, I tell you what, one of my dear friends there, Mr. Fred Cowgill from WLKY Sports, CBS affiliate, Hearst Communications. Fred, how you doing, my friend?
Gentlemen, doing great. How about you guys?
He's trying to imitate your voice, Fred. Okay? So, Brendan,
Fred, I got you down, brother. I can do
that
it.
Wasn't one of your better performances.
It is live from the Twin Spears. The Twin Spears overlooking the University of Louisville parking lot. Ladies and gentlemen, Fred Cowgill.
Yes, they are twin brothers of different mothers.
That's what she said. How you doing, buddy? You've seen me last
week. Brendan, you're kind of morphing into Harry Carey there, too. you got a little Harry Carey coming out there, too. Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody.
Have another PBR. Budweiser. Have a PBR.
It's like...
Good Lord.
Brendan's got a lot of voices.
Hey, Fred and I were cart partners and playing partners all this past week at French Lick in the rain and wind.
Ooh.
Yeah, poor Fred.
Yeah, it is pouring here right now. It is flat out pouring, but the forecast is for sunny skies for Kentucky Derby 147.
There you go. The Oaks is tomorrow, right?
Yes. Kentucky Oaks 147 is 5:51 Friday afternoon.
There you go. There you go. So tell us what's going on out there. You've been out there all week. You're all around CD and the spires, so to speak, and the parking lot, Brendan so affectionately called.
Yes, it's a special place. I mean, I've been here 35 years, and it's never gotten old. It's the reason I moved to Louisville in 1986. It's the reason I've stayed, besides the fact that my wife here had four kids here, but that's a separate story for a separate time.
So you met your four kids there?
Four kids, yeah.
No, you met your four kids there.
Absolutely did.
Tell them I said hi.
Tell them
I said hi. Hi, how are you? Nice to meet you. I'm your dad.
Fred Congo.
Yes. So, you know, for people who don't get it, and I totally understand, because frankly, for the rest of the country and maybe the rest of the planet, people don't get horse racing like they do in Kentucky. It's the brand of the state. It's on our license plates. It's what makes a lot of the economy here go. This goes back a couple hundred years. The limestone, what in the ground here, is uniquely special and good for racehorses to drink that water. It helps their bones. And that was discovered back, you know, frankly, in the 1700s. And the Derby's run since 1875. At the time, frankly, it was kind of a stab in the dark. They were hoping that they might get some traction. Churchill Downs was a modest endeavor. The Louisville Jockey Club was a modest endeavor, but it blossomed into the biggest horse race on the planet. It's not the biggest purse, but, you know, frankly, if for the casual fan, sports fan, or even for the non-fan, if they had to take a stab at the one name of a horse race in the world, they'd say the Kentucky Derby. And most trainers will tell you that when they're on a plane, when they're traveling and they meet people and they say they're horse trainers, there's only one question they're asked: have you won the Kentucky Derby? So it's like the Masters in golf. You know, they're bigger purses and they're are arguably more prestigious events, although I would argue that. But the one they want the most, like the Masters, the one they want the most is the Kentucky Derby.
Hey, Fred, I'm curious, because of COVID and last year's adjustment in the schedule, but because now we're still trying to get out of it, as far as attendance goes, because whenever anybody watches the Kentucky Derby who hasn't been there, or even if you have, you know that it's an enormous audience, and it's up to live audience of 200,000-300,000 people that are there at Churchill Downs. What's it going to be like this weekend?
That's an excellent question, Tim. The record is about 175,000, which is by far the biggest single-day attended horse event in the world, not even close. The only thing, in fact, as far as a sporting event goes, the only single-day event I can think of off the top of my head that's bigger is the Indianapolis 500, which pulls about 325,000 pre-COVID and hopefully post-COVID. In fact, that happens in just a few weeks, just up this the two-hour drive north on I-65 to Indianapolis. And they're going to have 135,000 there, which I find hard to believe, but it is a massive property. By comparison, while Churchill is huge for horse racing, 175,000 is a challenged business model. So they're hoping for 50, and I think they're probably going to do that. Tickets have been much easier to buy this year than pre-COVID. I think people are still trying to figure it out, and I don't blame them. You know, the population, the body of work in the United States, there's a large disconnect about having the vaccinations for a whole bunch of reasons, most of them misplaced, one man's opinion. But like the state of Kentucky, about half of the 4 million people here have been vaccinated. So that gives you an idea what you're walking into. And the Derby is a very international event, so people from all over the world coming in. There are protocols in place to try to, as best they can, socially distance. But and you go into the main event as an example. On the finish line, the coveted area is the third floor clubhouse undercover, which typically those boxes go for, you know, on the open market, about $25,000 for a box of six fold-up chairs, metal chairs.
I'll take two.
Yeah, exactly. And right now they're even more scarce because it's every other box. I mean, it's you get a box, but everything around you is sectioned off. So you can imagine the financial hit that Churchill's taking. But, you know, obviously a lot better than last year when it was just a very scarce, you know, minimal crowd of probably about, you know, I'm thinking 5,000 to 7,000. But, you know, Tim, it's an excellent question. Churchill's tried really hard. The good news about them, they're in the business of hosting people. Louisville's in the business of hosting people and has for a long time. It's right on the Ohio River, right across the bridge from Indiana. And, you know, people have been coming through here for 400 years or more. I mean, back when this area was settled, the safest place to go to avoid the Indians, the Native Americans, was down the river. And Louisville became a big city because there are falls here, the falls of the Ohio, which forced people on the river to get off here to go around the falls. And that created the town, that created the track, and you go from there. But since it's always been an international city and a city that's hosted so many people, we've adapted a lot to all of this stuff. So the good news, we're prepared to do this. The bad news right now, hotel capacity is probably at about 50% when normally you can't find a room. And right. This is probably the best time to come because you can get a ticket and you can get a hotel room. Now, I will caution those at last minute think that that'd be a great idea. It's still a pricey endeavor. As an example, if you wanted to get two tickets to the Derby, I can get you those. Just go to the website, KentuckyDerby.com, and you might end up on like the first turn, which is no cover, fold up metal chairs. Those seats are running about $500 each. They're all inclusive, which means they bring you box lunches. They bring you contained containers of favorite beverages for Brendan Sweeney. You know, your favorite adult beverage might be one that he would make sure he got. And multiples might be possible. Wow. But multiples. It's still a pretty pricey ticket. $500 a pop is still pretty pricey when you think about it.
Well, it all depends. If you're looking at a hotel room, I'm only 70 minutes away, and I have a casino. So if you want to come on over to French Lick, Indiana, we're right down the road. And
good tie-in.
Our steakhouse is named 1875, which is named after the first year of the Kentucky Derby. Every horse in the restaurant is on the wall. And a little-known fact there, Mr. Fred, that there used to be a train that ran directly from French Lick to Churchill Downs, and it was called the Derby Express.
The Indians
attacked. I didn't know that. Cool. I didn't know that, and I've obviously eaten at the 1875, and I have really gone through almost all of those pictures, and they're priceless. They really are. It is a experience, not just a place to have a bite to eat. And what I love about it is being a fan of the game. I mean, I've looked at all those pictures and frankly gotten in people's faces to get to the pictures over their tables half the time.
We've read the comment cards.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It's a special place.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And, you know, we've been around since 1845, 40 years, before prior to the, or 30 years prior to the Derby. So, yeah, if someone is looking for a room out there, we do have rooms. We will not hold you to the Louisville 3-night minimum stay. So you can blast in that way. So we're promoting French Lick today, Fred.
I understand. I have no problem with that.
I'm doing great. It's all good. So let's look at the field, Fred. I was reading some of Jody Demling's stuff. He obviously has the big three. He's got a great track record. He's a great buddy of yours. But he was looking at essential quality, highly motivated, known agenda are his top three. I mean, is that pretty much what the field's screaming out? I personally am a big fan of Medina Spirit from being from Medina, Illinois, but it's Medina Spirit. It's just a spelling thing. So
that's Danny's.
Let me know what
horse.
You think. What are your thoughts?
Jody and I are very similar handicappers. We've shared a lot of information over the years. We've been sharing stuff this week, and he is spot on in the way I feel about this thing. I've got two or three really close friends who are outstanding handicappers, and Jody's one of them. And we've been having a debate about this over the last, a spirited debate, good-natured, about, you know, the way this works. And, you know, the hard part about this, at the end of the day, it's a 20-horse field. These horses have never run in a race with that many horses and never will again in their lives. This is a one-shot deal. They can only have this opportunity once in their lifetimes. And in the United States, there's only one race like this. Now, that said, that creates, because of anybody who understands gambling, gets the more horses you have in a race, the more and the higher payoffs that go with it, even if the favorite wins. So it creates a lot of debate about how the races run. In a 20-horse field, obviously, you have more traffic than you might have in a 14 or a 10 or an 8-horse field. And, you know, with the configuration of Churchill Downs, they've tried to improve it with a new gate, which has created a one gate of 20 spaces for the horses, which actually has been moved out a little bit to give a little more breathing room. So even the one horse, the horse in the one post position, has a little more of a chance than it used to. In the old days, there were two gates, and the one and two positions stared at the hub, literally, of the racetrack, and were really virtually toss-outs before the race was even run. Some very good horses have never had a chance because they started from the one and two post positions. But now, basically, the rail, so to speak, the one, is really what the old number four post position was. So there's more breathing room. But still, when you think about it, if 20 of us lined up shoulder to shoulder and there's a metal rail there and we all go off, the tendency is for the guys on the outside to start moving to the left. And so there's kind of a crush in the first quarter mile. It's about a quarter mile stretch down. So the you know, frankly, the hard part is having your horse be in a good position without getting its butt kicked by horses bumping into you. Because, frankly, horses don't do well when they're hit. Very few really survive that kind of thing. It takes a really hardy horse to do that. So to your question, the horse to beat is essential quality. From the 14 post position, only two horses have ever won the Derby from there, and none in the last 50 years. So there's a lot of historical kind of maybe anomalies, maybe not, that are against essential qualities. A very good horse, unbeaten in five lifetime starts, four graded stakes wins, which is the top of the game in the sport. Brad Cox, a Louisville guy, grew up in the shadows of the Twin Spires at Churchill Downs, went to Iroquois High School, grew up dreaming of this, and he's been the rock star of the game in the last three or four years. In 2017, nobody knew who he was except guys like me. And then in 2018, he won the Oaks with a future star called Monomoy Girl. And she, I mean, just made his career. And now he's, you know, almost on top of the game. And he's winning almost everything in sight, but he's never won the Derby. In fact, no Louisville-born trainer has ever won the Kentucky Derby. So he's trying to go against a lot of history. And another historical fact. So since 2000, 10 of the last 20 winners, 21 winners, going back to 2000, have been favorites. Well, that's a real aberration in the sport, an anomaly, given that favorites only normally win about a third of the time. So we're looking for maybe an upset just from a pure numbers game. And that's the way these things work. So essential quality is certainly the one to beat. You know, but known agenda from a rail to, you know, while he's got the one, I like him a lot. And highly motivated is kind of my guy, my horse. I mean, I've liked him for a long time. He's trained by a guy named Chad Brown, who's one of the rock stars of the sport now, was a protege of Bobby Frankel, who's a Hall of Famer. He used to come to Churchill years ago for this race, loved it. And Chad was an assistant for him in those days. His mentor never won this race. And so now here he is in the position with a 10-to-1 shot, who I think is very live.
So you're looking at a horse that's coming from the middle of the pack. I mean, you're looking at the at Known Agenda coming out of the chute and next to the rail, but the other guys are 17 and 14. When the wall of horses comes all together, pretty much the guy that's the first one out. So are you looking at a horse that will come from the back of the pack around the final turn as a sprinter?
That's a really good question. Yeah, there aren't any sprinters in here anymore, Brennan. That's an excellent question. The old system, which goes back about, well, for the first 135, 140 years, was based on stakes earnings. You made the race by having made the most money going into the Derby. Now, in the modern day, it's been based on a point system, which has basically tossed out horses that don't do well and sprinters. So you have horses, for the most part, that belong in this race as a body of work, horses that can go the distance, so to speak. But that said, I mean, you can start tossing people left and right, at least in part because of breeding and a lot of other things that lead into this. And so what you have now in this particular year, because there have been a lot of defections because of injuries, you've got a group of horses, about eight of them, all of whom don't necessarily want the lead, but want to be near the lead, stalking, which has become the modern day way to win the Kentucky Derby. Also, very few deep closers anymore. As an example, the last deep closer that I can think of off the top of my head to win goes back to Ferdinand, who won ironically from the rail in 1986. And that was the last time a horse won from the rail. Interestingly, also from the 17 post position, which highly motivated is going from, no horse has ever won the Derby from that spot, ever. And in fact, that's the only post position that's never had a Kentucky Derby winner. So again, to statistics, I believe this is the year for highly motivated, at least because, you know, that can't last forever. So, you know, this is a combination of handicapping, past performances, numbers, and frankly, a little bit of guessing. You know, it's, you know, what you see and the kind of races that have led up to this and what a horse has shown in terms of having the kind of guts to fight out this cavalry charge to the first term. And highly motivated, shown a lot of guts. He's really had some traffic problems in his early career, and most horses, frankly, spit the bit when they face traffic problems. So it's never the same ever. Every race has been terribly unique because, again, they can only do this once in their lifetimes. There have been huge bombers in this race. Mind That Bird paid telephone numbers. Giacomo paid telephone numbers. But again, in the modern day, 10 of the last 21 have been favorites winning the Derby. So it is, you know, at a lot of levels. It is a sporting event. It is a social event. The one thing about people here in this community, horse racing is sort of in the fabric of the community. People, women at Kroger argue over lettuce, over who's going to win the Derby. I mean, it's like in Dallas with the Cowboys. You know, casual people who are not real fans of anything in sports know the Cowboys and know what's going on. And here it's horse racing. And it's one of the reasons that I just smile every time I talk about this area, because the sport is so close to my heart.
See, but in Texas, where Tim is, you know, they have those cow races, and when all the cows, they have the cow races, they all have their horns, so they have the kindness to beep when they're passing each other. So it's stretching on that one.
Brendan, I think you made that up. I don't think that's true.
Doesn't make you horny, Tim.
it's funny to me, too, that, you know, regionally, you leave the Kentucky area, you go to Nashville, an example where Frank is, and this environment's completely different. It's become hockey, it's become NFL. Horse racing is very uniquely this area. Louisville and Lexington, and to some degree the state of Kentucky, I mean, it's the heart and soul of the game. I mean, Kentucky Downs down to the Tennessee border, about 45 minutes from Nashville, has become this new hotbed of horse racing. It's a cross-country course, 1.75 miles, grass, all grass, and up and down hills, right and left turns. It's like a European course. It's called Kentucky Downs.
It's right across the street from Kenny Perry's golf course in Franklin.
Exactly. Yes. So, but it's funny, you go, you know, 2 hours north to Indianapolis and it's all car racing. It's just in this pocket. Now, there are racetracks all over the country. There's Belmont in New York, and there's, I mean, you go to Florida, there's Gulfstream, Arlington Park in Chicago, Santa Anita in Los Angeles. So it's not like we cornered the market on horse racing, but I would make the case that in the culture of these cities or of these states, that the culture of horse racing here is unparalleled anywhere in the United States and would rival only maybe England, which a lot of this stuff was modeled after, frankly, when the American settlers came in. Frankly, the Kentucky Derby was based on the Epsom Derby in England, which is one of the biggest races in the world. So, you know, it's a very unique environment. And frankly, outside of this state, most people don't get it. And I understand it's such a unique sport. It's not for everybody. And it's hard to understand it. But once you get around the animals, you go to the backside in the morning and you see the training, and it's intoxicating. It's just so much fun. They're very sweet. I got to feed some horses carrots a couple of days ago in the morning, and out of the palm of my hand, and I'm, you know, it is literally intoxicating. It truly is.
Well, that's the great Commonwealth of Kentucky, named after the fine English people that came over. Correct, Frank?
I did not know that. Okay.
I'm taking a guess.
Brendan's making stuff up again.
Brendan's making it up. Brendapedia.
Brendapedia. Commonwealth of Kentucky. Well, so the next 48 hours, you have the Kentucky Oaks, which at one point was sort of like the locals, right? And now it's grown into quite a festivity of fun. And then on Saturday, what's Saturday going to be like? What time do you get out to the course? Tell us about your Saturday at Churchill. When do you roll in and when do you roll out?
You know, every year is different, and COVID has certainly made this business model different. I normally host a handicapping show at Churchill Downs on Derby morning from 8 to 10 in the morning, where I bring in a lot of my old friends like yourselves, but are handicappers, guys like Jody Demling, who writes for CBSSports.com and all of that. And it's a hoot. It's a lot like this show, where we talk as much about how much we hate each other and we throw things at each other and talk about our golf games. And we also talk horses. But, you know, COVID, the Derby got moved to September last year, the first Saturday, personally the first Saturday night. So in 2020, we did not do a handicapping show. And because of social distancing and where our set is, our bosses chose not to do one in 2021, which saddened me greatly, but we're hoping to bring it back in 2022. But so normally I'd be out there on very little sleep, like I have most days here. I do the 11 o'clock news, get off the set about 11:35. Do a variety of other things off of the set before I leave and get to bed about 1 and at the track about 6. But this case, I'm going to get sleep in, which I haven't done ever in 35 years of covering this race. So
you won't. You'll be awake.
Talk about noon.
No, you'll be awake, Fred.
The gas tank will be full, man. I'll be ready to go. So, yeah. And there are, good. You know, all sorts of stakes races all afternoon. It's a wonderful card. There are 7 stakes races on Friday, Oaks Day, which finishes with the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks. The fillies running for Lilies, a 1.8 mile on real dirt, a Grade 1 test for over $1 million. And then Kentucky Derby 147 on Saturday night at about 6:57, I think, is the actual post time.
Eastern.
And it's, again, 20 right now, full field going 1.25 miles on real dirt to get a Grade 1 test. But, you know, there are lots of big horse races in the world. There's the Dubai World Cup, which is huge. There's a great big stakes race down in South Florida in January. But this one is the one. It is the one that every trainer wants to win. And so the course, the hard part for them on Derby Day, you talk about the business model of that day, is standing around and waiting and making sure their horse doesn't do something silly. Those final little gallops in the morning and all that, they shut down the track pretty early for warm-ups. And then it's a lot of sitting around and watching the other races until the final race before the Derby goes off at about 5:30. And then the actual Derby goes off right at about 7. So there's about 90 minutes of anticipation, and the horses come over. They're playing by Old Kentucky Home. And, you know, when the track is full, 170,000 people singing, that's pretty exceptional. And then the post-parade, and then they finally go off. It's called the most exciting 2 minutes in sports, and I agree. For me, it equals the start of the Indianapolis 500, which if you haven't been there, TV does not do it justice. You see these cars going, I mean, literally right by at 235 miles an hour or whatever, the ground shaking. In a similar way, these horses, when they go by, when they're let out of the gate, it's just exhilarating. Because when you think about it, it's been a almost four-year process from the time that the breeders try to figure out how to have a mating all the way that in the old days, there were 40,000 babies born every year. We're down to about 22,000 now because of a variety of issues, including economics and the sports. We're about half the normal breed born every year. So only three-year-olds do this. So that 22,000, give or take, get boiled down to 20, you know, in their three-year-old year. A lot of them aren't even turned three yet. You know, horses, their birthdays, regardless of when they were born, officially are known as January 1st. But some horses are born on January 2nd, 3rd, or 4th, and some are born in May. So, and they're teenagers, basically, in terms of human years. So, obviously, a lot of growth goes on, and the horses that are a little bit older certainly have an advantage over the horses who are a little bit younger.
Throwing it back to a golf perspective, you look at Hideki Matsuyama, who wins the Masters, and then they're saying that his money earned from winning the Masters could be close to $1 billion. What's a horse make or a trainer make for a winner of the Derby lifelong? Is it in the hundreds of millions, tens of millions, millions?
That's a really good question, Brendan.
That's my third one today.
Yeah. No, I think every horse is different. It depends. Some horses are geldings, and so their worth in the breeding shed obviously is zero because they've been gelded. They've lost their ability to procreate.
Right.
I wouldn't want to be one of those guys. But then you have like American Pharoah, who in 2015 became the first Triple Crown winner in 37 years. And he's been a very prolific sire. Not only has he produced great progeny, but he's been very happy in the breeding shed. He's one of those horses that's really liked it. And frankly,
he's like Barry White, right? He's just walking around with his big horse meat coat on.
Right. You know? I mean, he'll go in like three times a day. I mean, literally.
And, oh, you know, my hero.
There are some horses, the studs that don't like that. I mean, some like it more than others. And Pharaoh's one of those guys that's all in. I mean, he's like, just let me know.
So to speak.
Literally.
Right. So to speak.
So, you know, for Pharaoh, I think they paid some crazy amount of money. But on the low end, when you think about how it works, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but as an example, let's say they paid $20 million the farm for breeding rights. But then they may charge $200,000 for a live foal. And if they do three a day and they do year round, that adds up in a hurry.
Is there a guy that does that job? I mean, does.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a guy that preps them. Yes. Yes. Without getting
fluffer,
grabbed,
so it's fluffer.
Fluffery. I knew it was coming.
I think the official term is called prompter.
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 There you go. Yeah.
So
not
a
fluffer.
Not a fluffer.
Job. I'm just curious for a friend. Yeah. I'm asking for a friend, Fred.
Sure you are.
Think you want that job. Friend. Just a hunch. God. I don't think you want that job.
One hump.
Sometimes, no, this is a true story. I mean, well, that's true also, but they'll actually bring in a different mare sometimes. And I don't really totally understand the medical part of this. But sometimes they will bring in a mare who I think, if I understand it correctly, would be more in heat than necessarily the one that they want to actually mate to. And at the last minute, then they'll swap. So I don't really get all the dynamics of that, but that I've been told that happens there. Not only is there a prompter, a person who actually helps the stud out, so to speak, but there might be a mare who...
You got something in your throat, Fred.
Exactly. There might be a mare who actually is more... like receptive to this at first until they bring up the mare that they really need.
So the mare's got a good body, but her nose may be out of place.
Well, okay. I can't speak for the horses. I don't know. You Ask American Pharoah.
It's been nice being on the air. It's been nice being on the air.
We don't want you to wind up in the hospital.
By the way, we're being joined by Fred Calvillo. Fred is with WLKY TV in Louisville, Kentucky, the CBS affiliate. So we can reintroduce everybody here. And we do appreciate, Fred, you being with us, giving us so much insight into all this. I got a question, though. I'm curious if he's still there or not. Is Darren Rogers still there as a PR guy at Churchill Downs?
Yes, he is. He has a Texas background, does he not?
Darren Rogers was at Lone Star Park here. And he used to come on my show here in Dallas. He used to come on my show at night, right before the races were being run. And we talked. Yeah. And so tell Darren I said hi. Tell Darren.
I will do that. In the old days at Churchill, they would do a education seminar for students, college students who were trying to break into communications and into horse racing and the business and all that. And Darren was one of my students one year. Which shows you how far back I go in this. I'm feeling old. Like, geez, I've been here forever.
Darren's
he went on to a great career, and now he's running Churchill Downs, you know, communications, doing a great job.
You know what he'd do, Frank? He would come on the show, and I didn't even know this was happening. But
I want to hear this?
He was working a deal. Yeah, he was working a deal on the side. And I'd say, okay, let's go to Darren now in Lone Star Park. And Darren, what do you think about the races tonight? Whatever, right? And I'd introduce him. And he'd say, well, Tim, I think it was a great night at Lone Star Park. By the way, brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. And then he'd go into the show. I'm going, what Jersey Mike Subs got there? He goes, well, I found a sponsor for his little segment. So he started putting Jersey Mike Subs in every chance he got. He'd go, well, yeah, the horses sometimes get a little hungry, so they get Jersey Mike Subs. I'm going, shut up with the Jersey Mike. He goes, I get free subs every time I say it. Yeah, Darren.
Oh, my God.
Smart guy. Very smart.
Sounds like Brendan. You're trying to, we got rooms at French Lick. We can accommodate anybody if you want to come in here.
Speaking of Studio City in Los Angeles, we're not even going there.
Here we go. I want to talk more about the prompter.
No, I think we should skip on that one. Hey, Fred.
Fred, you mentioned it's raining. It's raining there. Is that going to affect the track for, because Brendan's a mutter.
That's another good question.
A mutter?
And honestly, it's... Yeah. The best case scenario, Churchill's one of the safest tracks in the world. It's got like 12 layers in it. Very unique setup, very similar to Oaklawn Park in Arkansas in Hot Springs. And the best thing for that track is to get a medium to heavy rain a couple of days before, because it starts to tighten all those layers underneath. So the forecast now is for, you know, a gorgeous day, Friday and Saturday, temperatures somewhere around 70 degrees. Now, heat and sun dramatically dry out the track. And in many cases, they have to go out and water it heavily because the sun and the wind will make the water escape very quickly. But with this kind of rain, we've had rain yesterday and today, that should really set it up for Friday and Saturday. It should be, and we've had some abysmal weather at this event. Last year was gorgeous, but it was September. But, you know, May historically, we could have snow here. Back in 1989, Sunday Silence wins it. I'm standing there on the rail because we were the ABC affiliate, and back then ABC had the rights. We're doing day-long coverage, and it was snowing. No exaggeration. First Saturday in May, it was like 34 degrees and there were flurries in the air. So we've seen everything for this event, mainly typhoons. I've been drenched. I've ruined more suits over the years than I care to admit. I've been drier in showers sometimes than I've been standing out at Churchill Downs on the finish line. My traditional spot literally is standing on the finish line in the dirt as they go around, which is one of the real treats of the job. But it should be perfect, barring... Good. Any change in the forecast, we should see some of the best weather we've seen in years here.
Very nice.
Well, good luck.
Nice.
That's awesome, man.
Well,
we wish you the absolute
Fred, you've
best.
Been great. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
Brandon, you say goodbye.
That's okay. Let Tim. Tim hadn't gotten to talk yet. Fred's
a busy guy, and we just wanted to thank him for his first time. Yeah, we got time afterwards. We'll talk.
Fred,
good luck. Good luck again for your 35th running of the Kentucky Derby. Have a great time there. I'm glad the weather's going to be nice and everything, and have a great experience. And maybe if you have time in the next couple of weeks, we'll bring you back on and you can kind of give us a wrap up of how everything went on this weekend. Okay.
It'd be huge. I love it. It's always a privilege.
Yeah, we love it, Fred. Thanks, buddy. Enjoyed playing golf with you
last week.
Had fun.
Boys, it was wonderful spending time together. I look forward to the next time. Let's make it soon.
See you soon.
All right, buddy. We'll see you soon. Okay.
All right, buddy.
There you go.
Brendan said goodbye in his voice. No, thank you very much. Thanks for getting it, French. We'll talk. You can't even help it.
Yeah. It's right. You know, I want to apologize to our listeners for having someone on who just doesn't know a lot about their subject matter.
Oh, my God.
I
knew you'd lose it on that one.
We're still going. Fred is a plethora of knowledge when it comes to the Derby. I mean, I'm amazed every time I'm around him because he knows so darn much about it in the history, and it just rolls right off his tongue. It's incredible.
I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's been close to my heart since I was a little boy. Half my family is from Houston, Texas. We had a ranch down in Sugarlands, back before it was what it has become now, which
Sugarland.
Is the LPGA,
yeah,
you know, Monster Development.
Yeah.
My seventh generation grandfather fought with Sam Houston for the country of Texas, and he was given 16 square miles down near Richmond. So we used to go down there all the time when I was little, and rode horses, fell in love with them, and that was really the genesis of a lot of this.
And they even named a band after that part of Texas. You know,
did they really?
Sugarland, yeah.
Oh, duh. Was that what really was named for?
No,
I didn't know that.
No.
Oh, jeez. Kidding. You're worse than Brendan.
I'm just kidding.
It sounds good. I got totally sucked in on that one.
Which brings us back to our problem.
No. No, God, please. We really enjoy being on the air, Brendan. So, you know, what can I say?
Let's keep it that way.
Hey, well, since Fred's still with us for a minute, I want to clarify something that was at the top of the show. Fred, did I almost have a hole-in-one on the Donald Ross course?
Yes, you did.
See,
very
close. God. Oh, God.
Told you.
Rolled right over the cup. First hole? I mean, I'm
16.
16.
Yes.
16.
Yes, that is correct. Yes. You are correct, sir.
There, Brendan.
Hey,
thank
you. I'm going to charge you for a new pin stick because you hit that flag and you almost broke the pole.
Told you.
I did. Hit that pole pretty hard.
But I'm telling you, we're here all week.
Mr. Winarski, how do you feel today?
Oh, my Lord. My Lord. All right, Tim, do something with this thing.
Well, Fred, thanks so much. We appreciate it again. You've been with us, and have a great weekend. Let's just say goodbye. Let's just get out of this thing. By the way, Brendan, thanks for all your insight. Thanks for some of the facts and some of the other – we're going to call it Swoogle, which is Sweeney Google. Not really accurate.
There you go.
Not necessarily factual.
Let the truth get in the way of a good story, my friend.
There you go, exactly.
Yeah, Swoogle.
W-L-K-Y, a Louisville sport.
Fix his own thing. Oh, God. Play the music, Frank.
What music?
We're done. We appreciate it. Thanks, everybody. Hey, by the way, next time you want to play golf somewhere in the country, check out Club Corp. Go to clubcorp.com to find out more about Club Corp. Wonderful sponsor. There's one near you. Check them out. And when you're a member one, your privilege is all over the country with Club Corp. And also, don't forget to check out what's going on in French Lick, Indiana. Go to FrenchLick.com. And go to the casino.
And remember, if you're not first, you'll ask.
Go to the restaurant. Go to the restaurant. Do all kinds of great things.
Oh, God.
For Frank Best, Brendan Sweeney, Fred Cogill, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for being with us. I don't know why you would, but please join us.
You're not rubbing, you're not racing.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, that was easy.